Praise God. It's a privilege to be up speaking. And the great thing is that you don't have to do this on your own. You know, the Bible says that we give our life to Christ. Christ comes and lives in us. And I'm not up here on my own strength, on my own ability, but on the ability of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. So, Father, I thank you for today, oh God. And Lord, I just pray that you'd speak to our hearts continually, Father, about your faithfulness, Lord God, about who you are, Lord God. In Jesus' name. And this is what I felt the Lord put on my heart. It's very simple. I'm speaking for about probably two and a half minutes, and then the video is going to be played. Radical provision. I'm going to look at briefly the life of Abraham. In Genesis 12, it's the call of Abraham. I'll just read a bit of the scripture. It says, "The Lord had said to Abraham, 'Leave your country, your people, your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. Whenever curses you, I will curse. And all the people on the earth will be blessed through you.'" Now, what a promise, because we're all part of that promise today. Thousands of years later, God made a promise to Abraham, and he's faithful to his promise. We're all sitting here today because of the promise God made to Abraham, because the seed, which was Isaac, which was through the promise that was given to God, we're all part of that. We're the inheritance. Jesus Christ came through that lineage. And each one of us have been grafted in through the Lord Jesus Christ. When it goes on into Genesis 13, it's actually in Genesis 12, it talks about there was a famine in the land. They were actually being asked to leave everything. Abraham was called of God. He was chosen of God. He was walking with God. And then a great famine came into the land. And we're getting a bit even thing here. He went into Egypt for the provision of Egypt. He didn't trust God. He even said that his wife was his sister out of fear. Yeah, he's called the father of faith. And he's the father of us all. But yeah, he was a man just like any of us. And he went into Egypt. There was a great famine in the land. And for each one of us, you know, life can be tough out there. Work, not getting work, not much jobs. Pressures coming in, listening to the news, listening to newspapers, listening to all this different types of stuff can put pressure on you, put yokes on you, where you start fearing, you start worrying. Is God going to provide for me? Am I going to be okay? But God provides all the time. In Genesis 15, in Genesis 15, God appears to Abraham in a vision. He says, "After this, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision. Do not be afraid." And you know, the Lord will say that to each one. Do not be afraid. "I am your shield, your very great reward." You know, "I am your shield, your very great reward." I felt the Lord telling me to bring this up, you know, and just put it up there. The greatest sacrifice, which was Jesus, for each one of us. That we don't have to pay the price, that he has paid the price already for each one of us. And this is what I felt the Lord was in. It's in Romans 12, and he says, "Offer up your life as a living," or says, "in view," and this is what hit me, "in view of God's mercy, offer up your life as a living sacrifice, holy, pleasing unto God. This is your spiritual act of worship." But it was like that, you know, in view of God's mercy. I know that when I have the right view of God and that when I, you know, the right view of myself and who I am, Christ, that it's like you're just in that place that you're like, "Lord, I'll do anything in his strength and his ability." And, you know, I remember thinking, like, going back a while ago, about 2 years ago, actually, I was with a friend of mine on the phone talking, and he was about to get married. And the Lord gave me a word for him. And it was he was about to get married, and the Lord said, he said, "I've given him a royal flush." When you're playing poker, the top hand is a royal, it can't be beaten. Now, there can be many things within the world showing you all these different hands, but they're all bluffs, because God has the best hand for your life. He has the best, you know, and the enemy and the world and all these different things, but they're empty. you know. So we're gonna, Jamie's gonna put on a video now, and it's worthy is the Lamb. You know, we're all sitting here because of the Lord Jesus and what He has done. Like over 20 years ago, I was thinking this just a minute. I was a chronic drug addict. My life was in bits. I don't say that lightly. I mean, lost, broken, shattered. And God has me up here speaking today. Oh. So just that you focus yourself on God and that He would reveal Himself to you at this point. Just be open to God. Fix your eyes on Jesus. So Lord, we thank You for who You are, Lord. Father, I just pray that You would open our eyes, Lord. Father, I pray that You would open every one of our eyes, Lord Jesus. Father, to who You are, Lord. Father, that we wouldn't just know You, Lord God, intellectually, Lord, but we'd know You in a real way, Lord. And that we would follow You, O God. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen. God is good, yeah? All the time. It's tremendous. Every time I see that, it affects me in a different way. Thanks, Jay, for sharing that. You know, it's from the heart, isn't it, that you know, the Lord reaches into us in so many different ways and provides for us in so many different ways. And good morning, by the way. My name is Eddie. I'm one of the elders in here in Liberty Community Church. And it's my privilege as well to come and share the word with you. And preach to you. You know, Jay was saying that it's his privilege. It's also my privilege. I was just praying this morning about preaching and about what God has me doing in the work that He has me in and in serving God. And it's a great thing. It's a great thing to be able to serve God. It's, you know, in any capacity at all, it's a great thing for the human spirit to be able to give away and give something of themselves out of your will and saying, Lord, This is what I can give you. This is what I can offer you. This is my offering to you. This is my service to you. This is how I can in any way serve you, any shape, make, or form. And there's something about that in the human heart. You know, so many times we can be very selfish in you know, and sometimes it's just the way the world is. Sometimes the world just conditions us like that we're kind of, it's almost bet into us. From a very young age, just to think about yourself. As long as I'm all right, then everything else will fall in place. And when you come in contact with the Lord, and when the Lord touches your heart, all that changes. And all of a sudden, the Lord kind of, when Jay was saying there that the Lord, that he was filled with the Spirit of God, when that happens to a person, all of a sudden you start thinking about other people. That's the true fruit that I see in people. When you start thinking about other people, they start thinking about nothing about themselves, but also they start thinking about, are they okay? Is that okay? Can I help you in any way? Is there anything I can do in the church? Is there anything I can do for you? Is there anything I can do for my community? And when you see people in your family and you see them kind of hitting hard times, you're naturally anxious to reach out to them and help them. And that's what the Lord does for us. Amen. But there's something about that in our spirit, that's what we're meant to do. There's something, I get that in my heart it's not something that you kind of rail against or you battle against. It's something that you're meant to do. And it's something that's very natural to us in the spirit, is to serve and to help and to be there for people, not only and constantly thinking about ourselves. And I want to share a word that's been on my heart for a long time now. It's in Mark 10:48, if you want to turn there. And it's about the provision of God, and it's about how God can reach into our hearts and how God can touch us in such a way that we understand that when God gives us of Himself, then we in a turn can give ourselves to others. And it's in Mark 10:48. And so we were doing a series called the Radical Series, and I'm doing a Radical Provision. And naturally, I would go and I would talk about how the church can give radically, or how the church can give away. And we're doing a great big giveaway, aren't we? We're doing a lot of services in the church. We're reaching out to a lot of people. We're doing a lot of things. And it's only natural to say that it's right and proper that the church is a radical giving church. That should be an absolute given. That anywhere you see the presence of God or you see the Spirit of God, there's a natural outpouring of giving and providing for the community at large. And that is, it's a great comfort to me to see my church like that, to see us in that heart that we're constantly giving things away, constantly providing for or helping or reaching out to the society at large. And it's great. It's a great comfort for me to see that that's a natural thing that happens in this church. Amen. It's a natural thing. And take courage to people that are, you know, if Liberty Community Church is your church, take courage in that, because we are a church that gives. We are a church that wants to see if other people are okay. We are a church that's getting away from our own self-centeredness into a place where we are giving and we want to give, yeah? So that's a great thing, isn't it? But I want to kind of twist on its head a little bit. And that's what I would naturally or normally talk about. But I want to talk this morning about the provision of Jesus Christ for us and what he does for us, in a sense that how we can, what is the main thing. And I looked at that this morning and I really impressed on me, Jay, when you put that up there. I looked at Jesus being crucified and I looked at the, you know, horrific scene of a man covered in blood and, you know, being nailed to a cross. Absolutely tortured before that, went through horrific abuse at the hands of men. I said to myself, like, the Holy Spirit just put in my heart, so what's that all about? Why did he go through that? What does that mean to anybody in this room? What's that? That's just a fancy film that Mel Gibson put millions and millions in to make it in such a light that, man, that's horrific. What does it mean to us? What's that? What do we do with that as a human being? Where does that go into our psyche? Where does that go into our heart? What does that mean? That happened 2,000 years ago. What does that mean? That's long gone history. Who is he? And why do people still want to talk about this guy? Why do people still want to... Why is it that 2,000 years on, that Jesus Christ is still being mentioned, still being talked about? There's, what, 150 people, nearly 200 people in this room come to hear about him. Come to listen to people talk about him, come to sing songs about him. What does that mean? How is that happening? Just 2,000 years have lapsed. Why are we still so interested in this man? And what's that got to do with anything in our lives, this man being crucified? And I think that, and I'm glad, Jay, that you put that up this morning, because it really ties into what I'm talking about this morning. It's about the work of Jesus Christ, okay? It's about his ministry. And when you hear me preach a story, or you hear Noel preach about in the New Testament, or Peter, or anybody, you have to understand that it's a massive, what's going on, and what I'm going to read now in a few minutes, is a type of what was to come. When Jesus lived his earthly ministry, he done things, okay? He done miracles, he moved about in his ministry, he walked amongst men, he walked amongst people, he touched people, he healed people, he spoke words of wisdom, and he laid it all down because he knew that that's going to travel through time, it's going to travel through the centuries, and it's going to be just as relevant in his day as it is in this day. But also, it's a type of what I'm going to do, or what Jesus is going to do. I am going to heal people. I am going to set people free. I am going to deliver people. And I'm going to do it right through the centuries. I'm going to keep on doing it. And he actually, in the physical, done something. But what he's saying in the spiritual is, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it continually. I'm going to do it today. It's happening today. When you see that man, Jesus Christ, being crucified, and you see him risen, that's happening today. He is risen in our hearts today. It's as relevant now as it was then. How do we know that? Because a guy broken in drug addiction has just got up and shared and spoke. I shouldn't be here. If that wasn't relevant, I wouldn't be here. If that doesn't mean anything, I couldn't be here. And I'm sure that's a lot of everyone's testimonies in this room. It's proof positive that he is still setting people free. He is still, this is an absolute statement. This room full of people like this is a statement that is still relevant. If it wasn't, no one being here. How could anybody be in here if that doesn't mean anything to anybody? Are you with me on that? This is reality. This is the greatest place you could be on a Sunday morning. Where is anywhere like that where you can come here on a Sunday morning? I often said that. What club could you go to? What organization could you belong to? Where could you go where you could walk in and have an understanding in your heart and possibly have a blindness that I'm going to talk about now, or possibly have a brokenness in your heart, and come into a room like this and listen to people and all of a sudden walk out different? You tell me any organization that can accomplish that. Because no one, no organization has him at the head. And no organization has his power running through it and his hand on it. And when we call out to him, he still works, he still moves, and he still ministers. Amen? Mark 10:48. Then came to Jericho as Jesus and his disciples together with a large crowd were leaving the city. A blind man, Bartimaeus, this is the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside, begging. When he heard it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. I want you to mark this. What do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him, the blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his eye and followed Jesus along the road. You know, when I read this story, I don't know how many times I've read the story, especially reading through the Gospels. You know, it's possibly in the hundreds now. And about a year ago, I read this, and for the first time, that stood out to me. The whole context of the story. I thought it was just one of the miracles that Jesus done. I thought it was just, you know, it's just Jesus walking through Jericho. Some fella calls out to him and he healed him. So isn't that what Jesus does? Isn't that part of his ministry? That's all through the Gospels. What's different about that than about any other miracle that Jesus done? And the more I read into it and the more the Holy Spirit spoke to me about it, it's actually very, very different. And very, very succinct to what we as people look to Jesus for. And that's what really presses in my heart. You see, the blind beggar, he heard it was Jesus. And how did he know who Jesus was? Jericho is up the north of Israel, past Israel, outside the territory. It's up the north of Israel. Jesus is from Galilee. From Nazareth, just 100-odd miles south. How did he know about anything about Jesus? So he must have heard a rumor about this man. He must have heard something, you know, "I've heard about this fella before. Who is this passing boy? What's the ruckus? It's Jesus. I've heard about this Jesus." And when we come into a church and when we're invited into a church like that, people say, "Why don't you come to church? Why do you want to go to church? Hear what they have to say about Jesus." And so people are interested. And people might come to church on a Sunday morning and walk in through the doors because they hear about this man that has healed Jay of his drug addiction, that has set Eddie free and blessed Noel Kenny and started this great church in Liberty City and is starting a church out in Bray and starting a church out in Fingers. And there's so much things happening. I heard about this and I want to go investigate. And it's the exact same thing that's happening here. Who is this? And so we come into the body of Christ. Listen, who is this? Tell me about who this guy is. And then all of a sudden he says, he's not getting anywhere. Jesus is keep on walking. And he shouts all the more, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Come to me." And when we come into a setting like that, it's like that. We're saying, I want what they have. The first time I seen a fella that was clean, coming back to my own story, coming out of addiction, the first fella I seen I was clean, he says to me, "How long are you clean?" And he says, "I'm clean 7 years now." He says, "I want what you have. I'd do anything to have what you have." How did you get that? Through Jesus. Well, then I want this Jesus. So Jesus, have mercy on me. And he kept going. The Bible says that he kept going. And so the beggar, he shouted all the more, "Jesus, have mercy on me, come to me." And the people said, "Shut up, you. What would he want to have anything to do with you?" And we come through massive, we have to press through, you see. And that's the lesson that we have to press. And society will say to you, like,
Just say, for instance,
You're in work or something. You're not the man in Liberty Community Church on Sunday, you know, and you're in work on Monday morning. And someone says to you in work, "Oh, I heard you were in that mad church on Sunday." There's a rumor going around that you were up in that, where they're all to do all that and all. Were you there? Were you there? And you go, "No, I wasn't there. No, that wasn't me. Oh, no, I heard you were there. No, that wasn't me." And then someone walks in, and then you go home to your family members, and they'll go, "I'm getting this right, but I heard you into that mad cool church there down on Ardy Street. Is this true?" And all of a sudden, there's opposition. The people are saying, "Sit down, you. Don't be going to them churches. What would he want? What do you want in them churches? What do you want with that man? What he wouldn't want that to do." And so you're struggling with people's perception or their prejudices against a place like this. And they're saying, "Sit down." But you're, "No, I want this. I need this. I need this, Jesus." And so we can also struggle then with people's, you can come into a church and you come into a setting like this, and all of a sudden you say, "No, forget about that. I'm going to press on through. Yeah, I did go to that church. Yeah, I was there." And you press through. And then all of a sudden you get to a church, and then all of a sudden you get opposition in the church. And you get people with dodgy theology. What would the master want with you? So he's not going to set you free. So God is only for the holy people. So sit down there and sit down at the back there, and they get you a cup of tea and they sort you. You belong in the stew crew. You only get the stew crew's offerings. You're not part of the main. And so you're struggling with people's theology. They're thinking Jesus doesn't want anything to do. You say, "Hold on, sit down now. I want Jesus. You know." And he kept shouting. I love that about that. He kept shouting, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And he disregarded what they were all saying. And he kept pressing through. And he listened to this guy. And he kept crying out in his darkness. He was a blind man crying out for Jesus. And when do we all see that, don't we? We're crying out in our darkness. "Jesus, have mercy on me." And we have to cry out in the darkness. We have to press through. We have to keep going and saying, "You know what? The more I want this, the more you can keep telling me I can't have it, the more I'm gonna keep going. Jesus, have mercy on me." And the blind man, he shouted out in his darkness. He shouted out in the midst of his misery. He shouted out and he said, "You know what, Jesus? Come to me. Have mercy on me." And he shouted out in his darkness. And Jesus responded to him. And Jesus stopped in his tracks. And he says, "Come to me. Come to me." And the people brought him over to Jesus. And this is the most, if I can say this, you know, without trying to diminish anything, but the next couple of verses that I'm going to go through are some of the deepest understandings of our relationship with Jesus Christ that you can ever understand. And it's exactly what was going on that screen. This is what he'd done it for. This is why he went to that cross. This is why he accomplished what he accomplished on earth. And this is why he went through what he had to go through. And it's absolutely, it's mind-boggling what happened next. So they called him the blind man. He said, "Cheer up on your feet." He's calling you. Thrown off his cloak, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. And guys, this is the most, it's almost heartbreaking thing, but it's a reality. Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" And I don't know if you get that this morning. I don't know if there's something that you have to bring that home with you and pray about it. I don't know that. But I tell you, when I first got this revelation, it absolutely blew me away. Jesus said to him, after all the screaming, after all the breaking through, after all the, I'm going to him, come to me. After all of that, he came and he presented himself before Jesus. And Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Now, isn't it absolutely obvious to everybody what that man needed? Isn't it? Isn't it absolutely obvious to everybody around what that man needed? But Jesus had to ask the question, "What do you want me to do for you?" And when we come into a church like this, and this is the key, because this whole story is about a journey. When we come into a church, we go, wow, worship. We go, wow, the fellowship, the pastoral care, the prophecies, testimonies. And we go, yeah, this is what I want. This is brilliant. They're bringing me to the Master. Now I have access to Jesus. I've got access to Him, and you know, He's talking to me. I'm in front of Him, and it's like that in church. But all of a sudden, and this is the role of a person who follows Jesus Christ, you come in front of Jesus Christ, and He says to you, what do you want me to do? And it's right back on us. It's right back on us what's going to happen next. What do you want me to do for you? And you know what, guys? And in studying this and reading this, if that blind beggar would have said to Jesus, you know what, I'm cold. Will you give us a new jacket? Jesus would have given him a new jacket and walked off. If the blind beggar would have turned around and said, I'm short of a few bob, the begging hasn't been going well this week, he would have said, there's a few bob for you. God bless you. If the blind beggar would have said, you know what, I've nowhere to live, Jesus would have said, well, bless you, there's a home, and walked off. There was many things he could have said. Many things he could have said. And many things that Jesus could have given him. So the question was his, what do you want? And Jesus puts that question out to all of us. What do you want? And I love this because the blind man turned around and says, and he didn't have to say this, guys. You know what? He was a blind man from birth, the Bible says. And all he knew was his blindness. He was a beggar, and that was his identity. That was who he was. And so, he turned around and he says an amazing thing. He says, Lord, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see where I live. I want to see my father and my mother, maybe. I want to see my brothers and sisters. I want to see the temple. I want to see my community. I want to see the great city of Jericho. I want to see everything. I want to have what I never had. And when we come into a church like that, that's what we ask the Lord. He said, I want to see. I want to have freedom. I want to have a life for myself. I want it to completely change. I want you to turn me around. I don't want to have a bit of you. I don't want to have the scraps that you can give me. I want it all. I want everything. I want what I don't have, which is my sight. And Jesus turned around and said to him, you know, he says, immediately he was healed. And Jesus says another amazing thing, your faith has set you free. Because he had the faith to say that Jesus could heal him of his sight. Can you imagine going up to me this morning, or Pastor Noel or Peter, and Pastor Noel saying, or I saying, you say to me, you say, what do you want me to pray for? You have to understand what I can give. But I'm looking at Eddie, will you pray that you have a good week? And that's fine. There's no problem with that. But in the middle of it all, you're broken. And you're suffering. But you don't believe I have anything to give you other than little bits and pieces. That blind beggar seen or understood and said, he can set me free. He can deliver me. He can give me my sight back. And that's where it was his faith that healed him. He could have said, he could have had just a faith for a few pence. Or just a faith for a new jacket. Or just a faith for bits and pieces. But he says, no. I think you can give me my sight back. I know you can. So I want my sight back. And isn't that a tremendous picture when we come into the church? It's all about what you ask for, guys. It's all about what you want. And God will provide that. Believe me, you. When I first came in contact with Christians, I remember a man made an outlandish statement to me one day. A crazy statement, this guy says to me. He says, Jesus can set you free. And it was the one thing I wanted most important in life. It's the only thing I wanted. But I couldn't believe that you can give it to me. I couldn't believe. I said, you're mad. What a statement. How in the world are you going to give me freedom? And I had no faith. Didn't believe. I didn't believe for 1 minute that anything that this man could offer me with his magnolia suit and his sandals and his white stockings and his guitar in the car, ready to go at any minute. That's how Christians looked back in 1995, by the way. Every single one of them, didn't he, Peter? I have to say, no, Kenny broke that mold. And I looked at this guy and I said, you're mad to think that anything that you can offer me is going to deliver me from my addiction and all that I want. And he says, no, Jesus can't. He says, no, he can't. And so it's the same thing with the beggar. Jesus says, what do you want me to do for you? What do you think I can do for you? What's that all about this morning? Why did he do all that? Did he do it all for the pittance? Did he do it all for the scraps? Did he? Did the Son of God allow man to crucify him that we can have the scraps?
No.
That we can have the bits and pieces? No, he's done it so we can have everything. Everything. And Jesus Christ can set you free. And will set you free. And wants to set you free. But do you want it? Do you think he can? Where's your faith? Where's your understanding? I'm nearly there. Another piece in this is that, and it's the same in my life, it's the same in your life, Chris, it's the same in all of our lives. And I love this. Jesus gave me stuff back and didn't put any conditions on it. He didn't say, now, when I heal you, you're going to follow me. When I heal you now, you're going to be one of my disciples. You do everything I say for the rest of your life. When I heal you now, you have to be this, that, and the other. When I heal you now, you have to have so much knowledge in the Bible, so much this, so much that, so much that. He didn't do any of that. He just healed them. He just set them free. And put no... Now, if that was me, right? If I had the power to heal people, I'd have my own little army. I'd have my own little followers. If I had the power... Now listen, right? Listen, before I... You know, I want you to sign this off. Peter, get that contract out there. Sign that off there. You're going to be part of this church now for the rest of your life. You're going to give so much money into this church. You're going to do this. You're going to do that. And you're going to do that. And the person goes, okay, sign it. Right, have your sight back. That would be me. But Jesus said, Jesus didn't put any conditions. I love that about the Lord. Doesn't put any conditions. Doesn't put anything about him in it. Nothing about what man is and the greediness of man. He just healed him. He just healed him. He just set him free. He just gave him what he wanted. His heart has already handed it to him before he ever walked a step beside him. Did you hear that? Before he even knew him. Before he ever followed him 1 yard down the road. He gave him everything. Everything that he wanted. He handed it to him. But the beautiful thing is, it says that he got up and he followed him. Out of his own will, he followed him. Not because Jesus made him. And that's a lesson for us this morning. That he's worth following. That he should be followed. And why wouldn't I follow him? And it's my heart's passion to follow him. And I follow him anywhere because he gave me everything. Because I have to. Because I want to. And I think that's the heart of what Noel was sharing over the last few weeks about being a follower of Jesus Christ, not just a Christian. I'm a follower. I walk after him because he gave me everything. There's nothing wrong with that, guys. There's nothing absolutely alien in that. That's the most natural thing we can do, is follow the man who gave us everything. is to search him out and to do all we can for him and to serve him and to be a blessing to him and a blessing to his people because he gave me everything. But the key in this text is that the biggest miracle in this text is that he followed Jesus. Can you imagine him just turning away and walking off, running down the road, I'm about to get my sight back. And then Jesus is gone the other way. What's the biggest miracle? That he followed Jesus. That he was saved. That he was born again. That he followed Jesus to the cross and watched him doing all that. And then observed his when he rose. I can imagine Bartimaeus being one of the heads of the church. I can imagine Bartimaeus now in glory with the Lord. But he could have turned on his heels and walked off. But he didn't. The greatest miracle is that he followed him. And that's the biggest thing that we can do in our lives, is follow Jesus Christ. It's the greatest miracle to be saved and set free. I know where I'm going. If I was to drop dead this minute, I know where I'm going. I have no fear of death. I fear the way I'm going to die, if that's a natural thing, but I have no fear of death. I know God is going to look after me. I know that he's in me. I have a hope and an assurance. That's better than anything. I asked God for everything. He set me free from heroin addiction. But that was nothing to him. That was 16 years ago. That's a past in my history. The greatest thing I ever done was follow him after that. And that's what kept me free. And that's what gave me my life. Turn with me and we finish the Philippians 4:19 and we finish. Are you still with me? Everything okay? God is good, yeah? All the time, isn't he? Let's finish this. Let's finish this. Philippians 4:19. What do you want God to do for you this morning? We're going to have a prayer time. If Trish and all the team want to get ready, if all the prayer people that are involved in prayer ministry want to get ready, start praying now. Peter, Sharon, everybody start praying now because I'm going to offer this up. Going to have an altar call here because I really believe, and Vicky is right, and Peter is right, there's a breakthrough here this morning. People, Jesus wants to give you what you really want. But have you the faith to ask him for the big things? Have you the faith to say, I think he can set me free from addiction. I think he can keep me free. I think he can heal me from my abuse. Do you believe that? Do we believe that this morning? I think he can give me the big things. I don't want to come to this church for the little things. I want the big things. I want what I really need. And Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in who? Christ Jesus. What we really need as human beings is we need love. We need assurance. We need confidence. We need to know that we're okay. We need to know that someone has our back. We need family. We need security. We need hope. We need provisions. We need to know that our kids are okay. We need to know that the bills will be paid. All these things, these are the real things. We don't need the big flat screen telly on the wall. It's great to have all that stuff. We don't need it. Stay with me, guys. We don't need the breadcrumbs. We need the main things. And Jesus says, I will give you all that. I will provide everything for you, what you really need. I will give it to you if you ask for me. If you ask and if you believe that I can give it to you. So let's stand. If the worship team want to come back, let's stand. I want you to come up this morning. If it's on your heart to come up this morning, I want you to come up this morning believing that he can give you what you really want. I believe that Jesus has asked us this morning, what do you want? I don't want you to come up here this morning asking for the scraps. I don't want you to come up here this morning asking for the little bits and pieces. I want you to come up here this morning and search your heart because Jesus is saying, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And we are going to pray with you.
We're going to lay hands on you, and we're going to believe that Jesus will do that. Amen. We're going to believe that Jesus can give you everything that you want, your heart's desire. And we're not going to believe in anything less. Amen? Amen. So come up to the front. Come up asking, with Jesus saying, what do you want? Come up and say, this is what I want. The blind beggar says, I want to see. I want to see. I want to see.